It is time for another edition of What's Going On Out There, Ruth, with Ruth Epstein of the Republican American on Robin Hood Radio. And Ruth, what's going on out there? I'm sure you'll. I know you've got stuff. I know you've got stuff tucked away, even though these are the quiet last weeks of the year.
It is very quiet, but we will come up with some stuff here. So we're going to turn to Kent. There was an interesting meeting by the Board of Selectmen recently, a little bit of controversy, a little bit of dispute between some of the members. It is about an evaluation distribution. Back at budget season, the Selectmen voted to put $12,500 into a pot to give town employees some extra money. And so in August, they decided some of it would go, a portion of it would go to longevity. That would be automatic for people. And the rest would be determined on performance. First Selectman Martin Lindenmeyer talked at last week's meeting saying he has talked with the town attorney and he alone has the authority to determine how that money will be split up. Whereby select woman Lynn Worthington disputed it, saying, she came and actually said, she was very sad that this is the way it was going to be, that she and the other selectman, Glenn Sanchez, are basically being left out of this decision. And she went on. It got a little bit heated, Lindenmeyer saying, this was their philosophy, and Worthington came back with, no, it's your philosophy. We should be knowing what these figures are. If people ask, we're going to take a lot of flack for not knowing how the money is going to be divided. The conversation and discussion went back and forth for quite a while. No vote was taken. It was determined that because the town attorney said they don't need to vote on this other part of it, that it's going to stand as is, and that Lindenmeyer said once everything is completed, he will release how the money has been split. So, as I say, it was an interesting meeting.
I'm speechless. Okay.
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 That's odd.
I don't understand. That's okay.
Why he didn't release it?
No, I don't understand why. I actually don't understand why the town attorney said what he said. But that's, I do not understand.
Yeah, well, neither did Worthington.
This is no legal nothing here. This is just common sense. It's like, wait, what? Excuse me. Yeah. That's all. I mean, you would think that it would just be a joint. You would think that, from a common sense standpoint, my personal opinion, why wouldn't it be just a collective decision? Why wouldn't it be everybody?
Yeah.
That's all I'm responding to. I have no idea what little nuances are involved therein. But for heaven's sakes, boys and girls.
Well, it was an interesting interchange, and he did say, the next time they will change the procedure and it will be more open. But at this point, that's where it stands. Also, they are changing, the board is changing its hours of meetings. They normally met at 4:30 from now on, because of schedules, they're going to be meeting at 6:30 the first Monday of each month. So people should be made aware of that. And the annual town meeting, where they talk about the audit and capital plan and so forth, is going to be on January 17th at 7 p.m. So
All Kent.
All right, mark your calendars. Quick question around that. Are we back to in-person meetings everywhere but Salisbury, or has that changed?
We're in remote or hybrid for most, except for Sharon. Sharon does not have a means of doing remote meetings at this point,
But
which
they are looking.
Casey Flanagan and I jokingly go around and around. I keep saying to him, you really need to figure out how to do this, because I think it's important that people be able to hear and see meetings. And he agrees. It's not that he doesn't agree, but they're having trouble finding that big main room is hard to get acoustically.
What I'm interested in, more separately from the details of that, is the dynamic of life is so different when you are in person.
Yep.
That's all. That's my interest. And if you are trying to solve something, in my view, you have a better shot. Again, my view, you have a better shot in person. Appealing to the, again, common sense aspect of something, than you do watching and interacting with your screen.
I understand where you're coming from. However, I would
However, you
say
have to go to these things, so that's
that's
different.
correct. And on a snowy night or a
I don't
night
see
when I
any
have.
reason why they shouldn't be recorded, which is way back when what Marshall and Mike were doing. There was a
Yeah.
reason. There was a reason for local access. And Ruth, I mentioned this to you the other day on another topic. I just remember something really catching my eye, and this has to do with press coverage, etc. Something caught my eye in 2009, I think it was. And I still can't remember who said it, but it was a pretty well-known reporter and or sorry, editor. And essentially, it was I went to the something finance meeting, and it was and from then on, and that was my last. Yeah, it's something like that was my last day at the job. I know we are really in trouble now because there is nobody assigned to cover these meetings.
Right.
So, there's, in my view, a difference between making someone go out on a snowy. I think that they should be recorded. Again, this is just simply my opinion. A record should be kept, and actually, ideally, a human should be there. But I'm talking about just in terms of business. Because you've got to have a checks and balances of some sort. If these go on, if they go on without someone sort of sitting there seeing what happened, if things go on behind closed doors, I mean, people make a lot of noise about transparency, etc., but they're happier behind closed doors anyway, so like that there.
But if you have remote, at least it gives people the opportunity to be there
Happy for
and
that.
hear and see.
Yep.
I think it should be both. It's very. It was that meeting, the town meeting on was it Grove Street in Salisbury when you had a remote and both, and there were like 75 people in the room and 125
Yeah.
online.
Yeah.
It was
Well, you
really
had
very interesting.
when planning and zoning was doing that, they had some hearings that had literally over 100
Oh,
online.
yeah.
And there was
What, yeah.
exchange and all. I mean, it's the way of the modern, the COVID pushed it forward and
Right.
got us to this point earlier. And the state of Connecticut, as far as I know, has not actually mandated the hybrid, but they're going to before long, where they're going to tell the towns, you have to do this because this is transparency. This is the ability for shut-ins to people want to observe in real time.
Right.
And these can have interchange. There's no problem with interchange. I know the
Right,
human thing
right.
and all, but it doesn't matter. The idea of this is to give as many people the ability to participate, in
Right.
the participatory meetings, because they don't have to let you participate in a business meeting. Even though people
Right.
think they have to, they don't have to.
They
But
do not have to.
for
You're
town
absolutely
meetings
right.
and for
Yeah.
public hearings, this is a way, because there's a lot of shut-ins that want to participate.
Yeah, I
You know,
understand.
not just storms. You have elderly people. As we get older, we can all admit this. Our eyes don't work so well. Driving at night becomes a little more of a, ugh, but I want to participate and be involved. Hybrid is very important, and it's extremely important that everybody get it done. And stop the excuses, because you know we are living in almost 2025 now, and
maybe
this is the business of the day.
Maybe
you couldn't have said it better, Mike. I find it, and I must say, Salisbury is way ahead of everybody else. They do a hybrid town meetings where you can vote.
Yeah, no.
All the other towns, if you want to vote on something, you have to come out.
Yeah, but no, and it has to be the two way. That's right. It's not a hybrid if it's not a two way.
Yeah.
You know, especially when citizens are allowed to participate, that must be a two way. You've got to get it done anyway. That's it. Stop resisting.
It's got to be if it's available, and obviously it is, if Salisbury can do it, then you have to put the money into it.
The town of Sharon has looked at a couple of plans. They've been getting some numbers from people, some pretty highball numbers they are, but you know they're at least looking for people to do it. It's going to cost you some money. And unfortunately, when you have, and this is a good point, their meeting room is such an abomination as far as the audible part is, that they're going to need to do something about that. I mean, the big vaulted ceiling is great, but, you know, then when the air handlers come on, you can't hear anything.
God, you can't hear a thing.
Yeah, it's just, and these places have to get their meeting rooms right, too. We're no longer in the day where you can speak in there and do it softly and don't care if people can hear you in the audience or anywhere else. It needs to be a proper meeting room with the proper equipment in it. You spend money on a lot of crap out there. You can spend money to give people engagement.
Yeah. And then you have to spend that money. And Mike, from your experiences out there, you need people to first understand the very salient point that you made, and with Ruth, that if people have the option of engaging, then you've got to provide the means for them to do it.
Exactly.
Ruth, we don't want to run out of time on this at the moment where we supposedly have nothing to talk about. Do you have other things that you want to?
Just a few things.
We can do a few more minutes here. No problem.
Okay, tonight is the tonight is New Year's Eve. I'm thinking of New Year's Day.
Don't push it.
The annual pancake breakfast at Cornwall is back. It had been on hiatus because of COVID, and it is back again tomorrow morning from 9 to noon at the UCC Parish House. And this was started by the Blakeys years and years ago, Jerry and Pat, and they have passed the baton, and they are no longer able to do it, but other people are stepping up. It's a great way to start the new year, and it's $25 for a delicious meal of buttermilk pancakes and homemade real syrup, and they give the proceeds to a charity each year. This year it's going to the church's outreach program, so that's up at the church on Bolton Road, and again, a nice way to start the new year. We had a geography bee the last day of school, last week at Sharon Center School. They do a geography bee, and some of the other schools are doing it as well, but they always do it the last day. And Keely Malone, an eighth grader, was the winner. Interesting questions to be asked. And then back here in Kent, we have an ongoing gingerbread festival. You can tour. They are in all the stores and galleries around town, and the creativity is just incredible.
Can you sample it?
You can't take a bite out of it.
Do you have an auction? You know how the Sharon Historical Society let them eat cake auctions?
Oh, that's right, yeah, and sell them all in a big auction. There you go. There you go.
Yeah, that's a great thing, yeah. So, and onward and upward, and we start the new year with boards of finance and selectmen, and here we go again.
Back to the old drudge in Connecticut.
Budget time starts when it really
starts up is in January. Over in New York State, they go on an actual year for their budget, so they don't start talking budget till like August, late August, early September.
I don't know.
There's something we need to. How is it we ended up with a fiscal year that's in the middle of the year?
Yeah.
It's
kind of weird.
Connecticut or we?
Yeah, Connecticut. And I don't know if others do their fiscal years. Yeah, it's from July
1 to
to January 3rd to to June 30th. There's 30 days. Yeah. It's just really strange because every other place I know runs on a fiscal year that goes from the beginning of the year to the end of the year.
That's a calendar year.
It's a calendar year. All right.
So it's the difference between a calendar year and a fiscal year. You're very good. Whiskers are onto something.
All right. The whiskers are perking up this morning.
Year, you know, it's just like, okay, this is random. We're going to this is how we're going to do
this. That's right. Somebody threw the darts at the wall. There it is, right there. Anyway, and anything else to go on here? Are we moving towards that point where we all say, "I'll see you next year"?
I'm not going to say that, but I'm the calendar queen. So,
you have to say it with a whine in your voice. See you next year.
I'm not going to say that yet because we have a little more time.
Okay.
Year's over.
We do have. Yes, we do. But a
little bit of time.
I wanted to ask one more thing. Mike, how are we for time?
We're good.
Okay. Ruth, what I wanted to know is of the certain, let's call them issues that remained unresolved in December. What's the first one up? You know, there was some finance stuff in Falls Village. There was some.
There's that speed sign thing
Canaan,
for.
North Canaan.
The speed sign meeting is January 7th here in Kent.
That's for Kent.
That's going to be interesting.
Now that's a meeting cameras. To approve or disapprove of. Now you're at that point. You're past public hearing and all, right?
We're past. This is a referendum.
Oh, this is a referendum. Okay.
They're going to referendum 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. on January 7th to decide if indeed the town wants to pass. Well, it goes to an ordinance. That's what we're voting on.
Okay.
To install speed cameras along Route 7.
And this may set the trend for the northwest corner, folks.
Well, the first one in this state is Washington. Connecticut just put them in.
Oh, they have? Oh.
Yeah.
Glad you told me that. Lead foot off the gas going there again.
Washington,
issue is, it's not about having them. Sounds great. You can sell that. It's just like, you know, like solar arrays. Okay, but what about the ground? What about the energy in the ground? But it's how do you enforce it? Because people won't pay. And how much of a cut does the company doing the enforcement get?
Well, cart before the horse right now. They got to vote first.
Vote for the ordinance.
Well, let's
and
hope
then
that they're
in the detail. The devil is in the detail. The devil is in the details.
Yeah, right.
You have to pass it before you know what's in it.
Another thing like fiscal year that we could revisit.
Yeah.
There we
so
go.
So that will be interesting because other towns obviously are looking at it. And we looked at Washington before. How they got.
So all the other towns are going to be looking at Kent and saying, do the right thing, guys.
Yeah, really.
can point our fingers at you if we all have to start driving 10 miles an hour all the time.
It's not about the speed. It's about the, enforcement.
All right.
And whether you can actually do that. But that's another story for a different day.
That's right.
It's going to be enforced. There's no doubt about it.
They'll send the goon squad over.
Hey, everyone. hey, everyone. Chevron deference, Chevron doctrine. Look it up.
All right. Okay. So now we're
reaching. The Egremont of Connecticut.
There you go.
That's right. Remember, officer.
Yeah, but everybody knows. Everybody knows. Slow it down in Egremont.
Everybody knew it.
Yeah,
we just very funny, Ruth. Well,
the other day.
All right, slow down. It's always a pleasure. Happy transition, shall we say? And this has been another edition of What's Going On Out There, Ruth, with Ruth Epstein of the Republican American.